Welcome to the Cooldown Room with your host, Sky Upshall, an F1 podcast where we talk all things Formula. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today, I am joined with a very special guest, Olivia. Hello, Olivia. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Could you just introduce yourself to the viewers and listeners? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Of course. So I am a motorsport content creator with a focus on F1 and a bit of Formula E these days as well. Try and focus a little bit more on the technical side of the sport, just to keep things interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm loving the content. I've been watching it for, a while. You keep kind of popping up on my, you page and Instagram. I was like, she's really cool. She needs a follow. So how did you get into it? How did you start off with all the motorsport stuff?
Well, I've always been a fan of F1 in particular. I grew up in Dubai, which is obviously very close to Abu Dhabi. Mm. And so my parents used to take me to the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix every year. So I got into it through that initially. And then in terms of content, I just started making content when I was still at university, mm-hmm. just because I enjoyed it. There was a lot going on in the F1 content creation space at the time that I was really enjoying from a consumer perspective. So I started putting my own stuff out there, started doing all right. Now here we are.
Yeah, well, you've done, as I say, done very well. Thank you. I think you've kind of started to make a name for yourself, and I think that's just so cool. You're just kind of doing very well. Yeah, you said a little bit about the fact that you make technical related content, mm-hmm. and I think that's really unique because we just had the chat a minute ago, but it's kind of something a bit unique because we don't really see that much within the F1 or Formula E motorsport side of things. Are you interested in the technical side of it? Are you into cars? What made you into that? Get into that.
Yeah, I've always been a bit of a science girly in terms of my education and my degree. So I've always found the technical side of anything pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And then, as I got more into F1 as a fan, particularly in terms of content, I just found, like you say, there wasn't many people putting out that side of things. Mm-hmm. And that the tech and the data isn't that accessible to fans, and it can be very complicated if you don't know what you're looking at and you don't understand how it works. So I just really enjoy making that information more accessible to people. Makes me happy when you get comments like, oh, that's so interesting, I didn't understand that, you made me understand this so much better. Then that's really rewarding.
No, definitely, I agree, because as you say, not many people necessarily are aware of all that information. Mm-hmm. It's quite hard to get, and I mean, when the FIA have written it, it's not very easy to understand. No. So having it kind of all written out, said nice and simply, I think that's really good. And it engages people a bit more into the sport that they're mm-hmm. loving and obsessing over and watching, like we all are, of course. So you have just come back from it sounds like a very exciting weekend in Miami.
Yes.
Please, you were at the Miami Grand Prix. Tell me a bit about your experience there.
It was pretty incredible. I know that people have mixed opinions on the Miami Grand Prix. Yeah. However, from the perspective of someone at the event, it is quite spectacular.
Yeah.
It's such a cool track. The paddock is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm, I can imagine they probably put more work into that at that race than they do at a lot of others because of the audience they're trying to appeal to, I suppose, in terms of the types of people that go to that race. The paddock was so cool. There's so much going on. Amazing city as well, obviously.
Yeah.
The weather was great. And obviously, Lando's first win was... I will never, ever get over getting to see that in person and actually being at that race. So special. So it was incredible.
That whole weekend, I was just watching it from the comfort of my home. I can't imagine. I mean, I was amazed to see that race. It was a really competitive race, and I'm so happy for Lando to have his finally after 5 years his first win in F1, and I'm hoping, honestly, first of many. What was it like? What was the atmosphere like when you were there?
It was incredible. People didn't really believe that it was going to happen at first. I think it was quite similar for any of the people watching at mm-hmm. home, mm-hmm. that everyone was trying really hard not to convince themselves that Lando was going to win.
Yeah, no, exactly.
They didn't want to
jinx it. Don't talk about it.
Yeah, no one talk about it. Even the commentators were like, don't talk about mm-hmm. it. And it was kind of the same at the track. People were not getting excited until very close to the end of the race, where it became clear. I think there's a few laps left to go. Mm. Lando still had a 7-second lead over Max, and people were it's happening, people, stay calm. And then the energy was quite incredible. Everyone was so excited, running to the barriers of the track.
Of course, yeah, because I guess people were allowed on track as well afterwards.
Yeah, they do the track invasion. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I've never seen, I've been to a few races now and I don't think I've ever seen a crowd that excited towards the end of a race. So that was really, really nice to see.
But so memorable for him as well, because of course, it could have been anywhere. It could have been at any of these tracks. It was bound to happen one day. But being in Miami, first one in Miami, I just think that has a great ring to it. Like the fact that, yeah, I know he had to change his flight to stay for the evening to enjoy, you have to enjoy it. I just think that's a really cool place to,
yeah, absolutely, have it. I don't know if you saw the interview that he did after the race where Zach came up to him and said, yeah, don't worry, we've moved your flight back.
Yeah, but I was surprised he said in the morning. I was like, oh, they're gonna have to, I think he had an all-nighter, that's what I saw anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I might have maybe seen him celebrating that night. God. And he was having a great time, unsurprisingly. Absolutely. So yeah, I'm not surprised they had to move his flight.
Definitely. Oh no, absolutely. So what was the, I mean, obviously the race was great, how did you, were you in the paddock? Were you watching?
I was fortunate enough to have a paddock pass, mm-hmm, for the first time, which was an incredible experience. Yeah. It's what every F1 fan dreams of, right? The access is just
unbelievable.
So amazing. And seeing like the drivers walking around so casually, it's quite the experience.
I can't imagine just walking through and just, oh yeah, there's Carlos Sainz. That's just pretty cool, isn't it?
It was very weird, but very exciting.
An amazing experience. You mentioned that you've been to a few races before, mm-hmm, Miami. Which ones have you been to?
So I wouldn't say I've been to a wide variety of races. I've mostly just been to Abu Dhabi, mm-hmm, multiple times.
Yeah.
And then I have done Silverstone, and Miami, and Monaco is the other one that I did for the first time last year.
See, Monaco sounds amazing. I cannot wait to go to Monaco. Yeah.
It's still my favorite. I had an incredible experience in Miami, but there's something that you can't beat about the Monaco vibes.
Oh, definitely. No, absolutely. Yeah. So was that with F1 or was that with Formula E?
That was with Formula One last year. Amazing. I did also do the Monaco E-Prix a couple of weeks ago as well.
Yeah, we'll get to Formula E in a minute because I know that you've had a little bit of involvement there. But mm-hmm, yeah, going to Monaco, seeing that race, I know the cars are a bit big for that track, but you cannot beat the Monaco Grand Prix.
Yeah.
The race might be pretty set once qualifying's done, but who cares? I mean, it's Monaco.
I think the thing with Monaco is obviously when you attend any race, anyone who's been to a race will know this, it's actually very difficult to follow what's going on track anyway.
So hard.
So I think Monaco is a great one to go to because you don't care that you can't follow the race. You know it's not going to be that exciting anyway.
Nope.
You're just there for the vibes. Yeah. Just see the cars, enjoy the atmosphere and have a great time.
Observe some
and
crashes.
You're not too worried about what's going on.
Oh no, definitely. Yeah. No, because I mean, watching on TV is pretty, I'd say, bad enough.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
That's done.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there is some, I mean, it tends to be crashes and stuff, isn't, mm-hmm, there? But yeah. No, but I mean, that sounds amazing. I'm very jealous right now of that experience. Definitely. And then, yeah, Abu Dhabi, did you say?
Yes, yeah. That Abu Dhabi I've done really a few times.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I wasn't there in 2021, which is a bit of a shame.
Honestly.
It's like one of the only few years that I haven't.
The ultimate race, wasn't it? That one.
Yeah.
Killer. Yeah. No, that whole track, I love. I really, really, really love that weekend.
I love the Abu Dhabi track. Yeah. I think, I mean, it looks nice for starters. Yeah. It's a cool one.
Yeah.
And obviously with it being the last race of the season,
that really helps.
Again, it's always just a really good atmosphere. All the drivers are very like relaxed by that point, particularly in the last couple of years where a lot of them haven't necessarily been fighting for any particular kind of result. I do enjoy that one for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, speaking of like teams fighting results, we have seen an improvement over the week, this weekend just gone in Miami, of McLaren, of course. I mean, we saw an improvement of Ferrari over the past couple months. I mean, Red Bull have had some dramas. Is that probably the right word to say? Drama?
Yeah.
They had some interesting things going on. So I guess I would like to hear your thoughts. What do you think are McLaren's next steps after achieving that win?
I think the Red Bull is obviously still leagues above everyone else this year, particularly Max in that Red Bull. So I don't think we will see teams like McLaren or Ferrari contending for that championship this year, in my opinion. But I think it does speak volumes on what we might get to see over the next couple years, hopefully next year, if McLaren can continue the momentum of development that they've had, because we saw it beginning last season,
yeah,
when they started to pick up the pace, and now they're clearly getting closer and closer to that Red Bull.
Yeah.
So my hopes are that for 2025 we will have Lando and Max fighting for a championship.
See, that sounds fun, doesn't it? Yeah. Like the McLaren, I do think that they have improved so much over the part, I mean, obviously over the past year. If you look at the result of those two cars mm-hmm. in Miami last year,
yes,
and now they've gone ahead and win. They finished the race last year, what was it, like 18th and, mm-hmm. and something, like very low down.
Yeah.
So they have like come on leaps and bounds, which yes. is so good to see. Like, oh my word.
They have.
But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping really that in the next few races, they will only improve, because we are heading to Italy
next weekend.
And that means, well, I have seen that McLaren are bringing upgrades, Ferrari are bringing upgrades, Red Bull are bringing upgrades. A lot of things could go on with that, because Red Bull mm-hmm. could just increase their lead generally and make yeah. the car even better, however that would be managed. Or, of course, we could see Ferrari and McLaren prove their car enough to start to maintain this lovely
yes.
win that we've just had.
Which is what I hope to see. I mean, I say that I don't think that they'll be contending for the championship, but you never know.
No, yeah.
Like I say, we don't know what upgrades they're bringing. We don't know what their development is going to look like.
No.
Red Bull might struggle to develop the car any further. I mean, I think they probably will be yeah. able to find some more pace somewhere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, we're still very early on in the season at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So
I think Red Bull has this one in the bag for sure. I know there's been a lot of conversation about other teams getting that championship win, but I'm not sure really that's possible, because I mean, Red Bull have done so well mm-hmm. and they really have a great team. But at the end of this year, they are losing, or they have sort of already lost in ways, some very important people.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on Adrian Newey, of course, leaving the Red Bull team?
Yes. Big news, obviously.
Very.
I think his departure is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be more interesting if he does go to another team. Yep. I'm not sure how likely that is.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of people have said, no, he's just moving to do the Red Bull hypercar project.
Yeah.
But as far as I'm aware, that is due to be completed early 2025 anyway.
Okay.
So it wouldn't necessarily stop him from moving to another team.
Yeah.
If he doesn't move, I mean, it still could mean big things for Red Bull's development going forwards, particularly like into new regulation changes.
Absolutely.
And it might mean they have less of a chance of making that transition successfully.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope he goes to another team.
Yeah, I mean, Adrian Newey generally brings success to any team that he arrives at the door of. So I did see an interview. I'm not sure if you saw the interview. It was with, I want to say, Martin Brundle at the Miami Grand Prix.
Okay.
If it wasn't Martin, I apologize, but let's say it was Martin. So he asked Adrian, like, what is your plans for your next step? It was a very vague kind of answer that Adrian gave. And he said that he basically wanted to travel around with his wife. But he didn't ever say that he was kind of like leaving. It was weird. It was kind of like a 50-50. It was like he was confirming he was going to another team without ever saying he was going to another team. It was weird.
Well, yeah, because he hasn't, I feel like if he had very clear plans to not go to another team, I feel like he would have stated very clearly, I am retiring from Formula One.
Exactly.
And he hasn't done that.
No.
So, fingers crossed. I mean, I really hope he goes to Ferrari.
Okay.
Only because I think then the combination of Lewis and Adrian at Ferrari will be super exciting and will definitely mean that they can hopefully compete with Red Bull going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I know Adrian Newey in the past has said as well that he, as does everyone ever in Formula One, right? Drivers, engineers, team bosses, whatever it is, there's always that urge to go to Ferrari, be able to tick that off your bucket list.
It's the red team.
Yeah, like, have Ferrari on your CV. And I know he's expressed that in the past as well. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Ferrari, obviously, we have big things happening for Ferrari over the next year, 2 years, having Lewis moving over there. And I think I wouldn't be complaining at that. Adding Adrian to that kind of resume.
Yeah, I think it would make it a very interesting mix.
Oh, it definitely would. It really would. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, I'm assuming that you are then a Ferrari fan.
I am. I think when you're a kid and you get into Formula One, at least for me, it's probably one of the only brands/names that you recognize at a young age.
Yeah.
So I picked Ferrari at 9 years old, stuck with it for my sins.
Absolutely. Oh, Ferrari's so iconic though. You can't.
Yeah, it's the history. It's everything. That being said, like, I like to support whoever is doing well at the time. Obviously, everyone, no matter the team they supported, loved watching Lando get his first win.
Yeah,
I am not complaining at Max's dominance either. Mm-hmm. Aside from, you know, it bringing less interest to the sport.
Yeah.
I still don't have any complaints about the history that he's making right now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. He's what a driver. Mm. He's doing really well. I wonder how this win with Lando is going to affect him, because he hasn't had that kind of competition in 2 years, so he must be slightly outdated with it in many ways. Mm-hmm. Checo has been the only successful driver to have beaten him on track, and that has happened only, probably count them on one hand, the amount of times that happened. So yeah, I wonder what he'll be thinking going into the next race, or whether he'll just be completely calm and happy, and that he's just going to go straight back to.
It's quite interesting. He seemed quite relaxed.
Yes.
After the race,
he did congratulate.
But I think,
Lando.
Obviously they're good friends.
Yes. Yeah. Of course.
And it was quite funny to see Max like so happy and calm about being P2. After the race finished, he just like had a smile on his face, and they were like, you know, are you annoyed that you didn't win? And he's just like, no,
it's fine.
Very chilled. In terms of going forwards, I think obviously like, there was still a bit of luck involved there with Lando's win in terms of the timing of the safety car.
Always,
and Max's tyres. So I don't think he'll be panicking too much at this point in time.
No. Yeah, I think that we'll just have to see over the next few races how much of a leap that McLaren or that Ferrari has managed to do. Yes. Definitely. We did have the second round of F1 Academy while at Miami. Did you get to witness that race?
We did, yes. I got to watch all of the racing.
Amazing.
Which was very nice to see.
Yeah.
In fact, I left out a race. I was also at the Saudi Grand Prix this year.
Oh, love it.
Losing track.
Okay. You've seen two then.
Yes.
Great.
So getting to see them race early on in the season in Saudi as well. That was only the second race of the season. That was really nice. And watching how the momentum has grown since then, even just in the last few races between Saudi and Miami, the support has just grown massively.
Yeah.
The excitement of the fans who are at the track about seeing the F1 Academy paddock and the drivers, it's really, really nice to see.
No, definitely. I think that the F1 Academy is only growing in a really positive way. Mm-hmm. And the racing is super competitive.
It is, like, yeah.
It's so good to watch, whether you know who's driving or not. Like, really great on-track stuff, and it keeps you entertained from start to finish. And I kind of love how short the races are.
Yes.
They're not going to take 2 hours to get through. It's like a nice half hour or so. And I just think that's... I love the racing, actually. I think it's great. Cars are a little bit smaller as well, which is handy for some smaller
Indeed,
tracks.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did... Obviously, you mentioned that there was a little bit of conversation around the commentary going on at Miami, which I actually seemingly missed.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
So I think it was... I saw a little bit of it at track and then heard more about it afterwards. Obviously, it's hard to take everything in when you're actually there.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely remember during one of the races, some of the male commentators saying some rather questionable things. I'm sure a lot of people have seen it online by now, but things like, you know, the race is starting, girls, time to put down your phones and watch. Which is a very bizarre comment for me, because, I mean, the women are the ones supporting the F1 Academy drivers more so than anyone else.
It didn't make any sense, that comment.
No.
Because I don't know what did they mean by that? Was it, like, put your phones out? Like, it could have been in so many respects, but what is it, like, that you're not interested and that you need to? Or is it, like, don't feel? I don't know what...
Yeah, for me, maybe it's an assumption, but for me, the sentiment was the stereotype that the women are there not for the racing, not because they're actually interested in what's going on, but because, well, for any other reason, basically.
That's so weird.
And therefore, they're just strapped to their phones the whole time. And yeah, they need to be encouraged to put them down to watch the racing. But to say it in the context of the F1 Academy race was just so weird.
Like, yeah.
And that wasn't the only thing. I know there was stuff said about, like, one commentator saying that he was struggling to not make any sexist comments during the race, which, I mean, again, very odd. I don't know. I don't know why that's a struggle.
What kind of comment was he about to say? Because I mean, you shouldn't be saying any sexist comments.
Yeah, what are you having to
in
stop
any respect, whether it's
saying?
F1 Academy or any commentary based, I don't know, line of work at all. Like, what was he about to say?
Yeah, and then there was other comments. I know there was frequent comments on Abby Pulling's appearance, saying that she looked 12 years old and that she didn't look her age, and you know, nothing necessarily malicious, but still just weird to be commenting on it at all. Like, we don't really make the same remarks about F1 drivers. Even when you have young rookies come in, like Ollie Bearman, I know there are comments about, like, he looks young, but it always feels like it's in more of a celebratory way.
Yeah.
Like, he's so young.
He's done really
look
well.
Look how amazing he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a, like...
More looking to the future, whereas this felt a little almost like a backhanded kind of style.
Yes, of, like, she looks just like a child.
Bizarre.
Yeah, and the frequency of the comments as well. It was all just quite strange. Quite strange. No. Now, I said to you earlier, the thing that made it sad for me was there was so much positive stuff going on around F1 Academy in every other respect. As I said, the fans at the track were super excited to see it. They open up their paddock to the public at several points throughout the weekend, so you can walk around, and there were so many people constantly in the paddock wanting to get in the paddock, a complete mixture of boys, girls, men, women, all excited to be there and see the drivers and the cars, which I obviously loved. And then you've got the announcement of the Netflix series and that being really exciting.
That was a big thing over the weekend. I'm sure that was a lot of conversation.
So, just all these positive things happening and you start to feel really good about, like, they're really making differences. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And then you hear the male commentators saying those things and completely just felt like a rejection of everything that they're trying to achieve with F1 Academy.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was that contrast for me that was quite sad, because the fans clearly are not thinking those same negative things.
No.
A lot of them, at least.
It's weird. I really don't, as you've just said, like, everything around it at the moment has been so positive. Mm-hmm. And they've just released that they are filming that Netflix kind of like Drive to Survive style.
Yes.
F1 Academy version of that series. And I think that is going to be amazing. That's going to be really good for the sport. And it will bring some new fans into it, which is exactly what it did for F1. Mm-hmm. Having the Netflix teams following them around, all the interviews, you'll get to understand a bit more of that with the drivers, because those girls are truly inspirational. They are great drivers.
Yes.
And honestly, I'm honored to be able to watch them race at the moment, because they're kind of making history, just like Susie Wolf is, and all of the women and men at the F1 Academy races and teams and stuff. But I think it's really unfortunate that those comments had to happen. I know we had a little chat before this, I don't see a woman making that kind of comment, so I really don't know where it would have come from. Like, I'm not sure a woman would say, I'm finding it really hard to not say a sexist comment. I think that's just a weird thing to say. I mean, someone
and
might,
to think that's an acceptable thing to say on broadcast as well. That's what gets me, is like, thinking these things in private is one thing, but being so comfortable with that and saying it for hundreds of thousands of people to see, that's what makes it even weirder to me. It's like, why do you think that's okay?
Think what you want, but that is bizarre. The races, actually, the F1 this weekend for the F1 Academy were super great. We've said this. I'm looking forward to the next race, although I've forgotten where it is. I can't remember. Anyway, I'm sure it'll be great wherever and whenever it is. But yeah, unfortunate that all had to happen, but we move. I wonder what is going to happen to the... they'll have their own little conversations within the...
I'm sure it sounds like a lot of people within F1, particularly the women within F1, have been quite open about not being too happy about the comments that were made. So I'm sure, well, fingers crossed, we don't hear the same things at the next race.
Hopefully. Mm. I'm really hoping, yeah. So you have had some involvement within Formula E as well. And I think that's amazing, because Formula E is... It's almost like in a similar base to, like, F1 Academy at the moment. It's a growing sport, which is having a lot more eyes on it, which means there's a lot of new people involved and everyone's kind of getting to know everything. No one really knows what's going on, because it's all new. How has your experience been with F1? Because I know you've been doing a little bit of work with them and making some more content with them. How has that all been?
Really exciting. Yeah, I love being a part of, like you say, a growing sport. For me, that's what makes it so much fun. I know people have their things to say about Formula E, things that they maybe don't like, but for me, that's all it's all a part of the process, the development process and the growth process, and they're not going to be perfect right off the bat. They're still, well, they're on their 10th season, which mm-hmm. in the history of motorsport yeah. is still very, very new. And they've just unveiled their new car for the next two seasons, which is very impressive. I mean, the acceleration is a whole second faster than the current F1 car, which is crazy.
I couldn't imagine what the drivers would feel at that moment of yeah, the start yeah. line. Scary stuff.
So yeah, I find it really exciting working with Formula E from a technical perspective as well. As I said, the thing that I like about making technical content is making it more accessible to fans.
Yep.
And I think you are always going to struggle to enjoy any motorsport series if you don't understand enough about how it works.
Yeah.
Because it relies on that element quite a lot.
Definitely.
So I really love bringing that to the fans with Formula E and explaining how that new technology works, because it is also brand new and it yep. can be quite tricky to understand. So yeah, I really enjoy that side of things.
No, and I'm really impressed with the content, honestly, because I know that you've attended a couple races with them, and that all we'll talk to that about that in a second. But yeah, you mentioned that they're on their 10th season, and I think many people aren't aware of just how long, actually, I mean, it's sort of 10 years, just how long the FE has been going on for, because mm-hmm. it does feel super new and it is an evolving sport.
Yes.
And it's, the cars are only improving, as you say, acceleration of 1 whole second quicker. That's unbelievable. I can't mm-hmm. believe that. And yeah, I can't imagine what the drivers would feel. Mm-hmm. Insane. But the driving and the racing is really, really great as well.
Yeah.
So I've seen and in the recent races. But yeah, so you got to attend, I know you got to attend the Monaco
mm-hmm.
E-Prix.
Yes.
How was that experience?
So cool. I mean, as I said, like, I just love being in Monaco for whatever reason, for the racing. Like, it's always such an incredible experience. And being there for the Formula E, even more so, because the cars, because of their smaller size, they do really thrive on those narrower street circuits, and yep. they do race on mostly street circuits for that reason.
Yep.
So for me, Monaco is where they really, really shine.
Yes.
And where the sport shines as a racing series, because it's so exciting. And we get so used to, as we said earlier, boring races in Monaco,
yeah.
that being there, and I mean, I think they had something crazy like 190 overtakes or something.
In the one race,
which is crazy.
What, yeah. in Monaco?
Yeah.
How is that possible? I think we only have 5 or yeah. so, and less than that probably.
They're constantly swapping positions. That's, and it makes it really, really exciting.
Yeah.
And we had the Jaguar double podium, which was really cool to see.
Yeah, so they, I saw that, which was cool.
Yeah, and yeah. I was working with them throughout the weekend. Oh, awesome. So it was really nice to be a part of that and yeah. see the drivers so excited in the team as well. It was really, really nice.
I saw that you were on the grids for like some video stuff, but I can't yes. imagine the experience on that. Who did you get to talk to?
So yeah, as I said, I was mostly working with Jaguar in Monaco. The way I'd like to do a race weekend is to pick one team that I'm going to be working with the majority yep. of the time, just because I find that you can then build better rapport with the drivers and with the team members.
Yep.
They get more comfortable with you, which in turn makes for better content.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, worked mostly with Jaguar, spoke to the drivers a couple of times, still got some content that's yet to go out them. I did a little stats mm-hmm. quiz with the two drivers, which will be fun.
Yeah.
I
can't wait to see that.
Yeah, did their like track walk interviews before the race, and then I did an interview with the team principal, James Barkley, on the grid, which was very cool. I mean, just being on the grid in Monaco was quite insane. Yeah. Being part of any grid walk is an incredible experience.
Yeah.
And then to actually be interviewing people on the grid.
Yeah.
As someone in motorsport content creation, was quite a dream come true.
I can imagine. That is a dream, because it's the excitement, it's how loud, how hot it is, how unbelievably chaotic, but yeah. everything is put down to, like, everyone has their own little job, but mm-hmm. it is just chaos on the grid. But yeah, going through all that, getting to talk to the people, walking around, I think that just sounds so good. And then obviously to be able to watch the racing, which, as I say, very competitive.
Yes, yeah.
We've got the next Grand Prix. Was it in Berlin?
Yes, Berlin, yep. actually, as we're recording this.
Yep, right now, yeah. So,
the next one, by the time this goes up, will be somewhere in Asia.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm really enjoying the racing at the moment, actually, within Formula E. But I think, yeah, really exciting what you're doing with them. And also, I'd love to see a little bit more of their Formula E content on social media, because there is so much talk and everything about Formula One, and I think that's amazing. Formula F1 Academy, sorry. And so yeah, I think it'd be amazing to see a little bit more of that personal content, the interviews, the social media content for Formula E. Definitely.
Yes. Yeah, it's really exciting, as I said, to be part of a sport that's still so new and be able to put that content out to people. And I think Formula E has an inevitable place in the future of motorsport because of the obviously growing prevalence of electric vehicles.
It's
almost inevitable that it's going to become more and more important as a racing series, in the same way that Formula One for many years was part of the development of road cars, you know, at the height of car technology in general, that was then filtered down onto the roads. And it's the same thing with Formula E. They now get to be that for electric vehicles, which are obviously growing in popularity so quickly. It's really, really exciting.
No, definitely. And as you say, because that is a huge part of the sports that we love and watch, is testing for real life, real roads.
Yes.
Cars, manufacturers, they're all constantly looking at the data. The F1 cars and the Formula E cars, they're constantly trying new, innovative, brand new ideas to try and, well, improve their car, but also, you know, car manufacturers on the road can take those too, which I love. I think that's awesome.
Jaguar have announced, like, as an actual car manufacturer, that they're going all electric from 2025, which I think is kind of crazy.
Very soon.
Considering they're, you know, a very high-end luxury supercar manufacturer.
2025. So they have a year.
Yes.
That is really soon.
So they are effectively no longer going to be producing any internal combustion engine cars from 2025, which is crazy. So obviously, and they've obviously got a team in Formula E, as I said, so that's quite an important part of their process.
Because I think other teams within Formula E, I think if you look at like McLaren, for example, they obviously have kind of one in each, which is great, which I think is cool for them. But yeah, you kind of wonder when they're going to follow along in many ways and increase their electrical car manufacturing and everything. I think Formula E is a big part of that, so super exciting. I wanted to ask, because I have never had the chance to attend a Formula E Grand Prix, and I am E-Prix, and I'm so looking forward to the day that I get to do that, hopefully soon. What is it like being there, the atmosphere, comparing it to the F1 that we're so used to?
Really positive in general. First of all, I think I've never spoken to anyone who's been to an E-Prix that hasn't had very positive things to say about afterwards.
That's so great.
Even people who are skeptical, they'll go and they'll say, you know what, in person, like, it was actually very, very cool.
Yeah, that's so good.
Obviously, yeah, the racing, as we said, is a lot more competitive in many ways.
Yep.
So really cool experience. I also find, because it's a lot more accessible with ticket prices at the moment, with it being a newer sport, that you get a really, really nice mixture of people, a lot of families who have just kind of come almost as just like a day trip experience, who might not even be huge motorsport fans. But particularly when I've been to the race in London, it was just people like, yeah, well, it was just something cool to do in London. Which is great, because it's bringing new people into motorsport in general by being more accessible in that way.
I think it's so good that they have a race in London, of course, being from England.
Yeah, slightly biased. But
yeah, exactly. But I think it's super fun to have them in the cities, being proper like street tracks. It's, I mean, they're partially indoor. Like, that's mental. That's just like go-karting. It sounds just like it's just a fun game, really.
It does kind of
when
feel
do we
way.
Get to try driving them? But the cars look so different when you compare them to the F1 cars, which obviously is still open wheel racing, but the cars look so unbelievably different. And I just think that's really interesting. Like, they're super like angular, they've got lots of spikes in them. Like, that's really cool.
Well, at the because I was at the launch, I said they've launched the Gen 3 Evo car.
Yeah.
And they did that launch in Monaco. So I actually got to be there.
Oh, lucky. That's awesome.
Yeah, very cool. And they launched it at the Prince's Car Collection in Monaco.
Yes.
So what was really fun to see was the Formula E car literally stood right next to an F1 car. So you had like Charles Leclerc's Ferrari, and then right next to the Formula E car, so you could really like see the differences.
So seeing it next to each other, like next to one another, what is the biggest difference with the look of them?
The most prominent thing for me is the size. You realize, I know obviously we said they're a lot smaller, but it's hard to grasp for anyone who hasn't like stood next to an F1 car, it's hard to grasp how big they are.
Oh my god,
they are
so
huge.
And the difference between even just Formula 2 and Formula 1,
yes,
the Formula 1 cars, the Formula 2 cars are big enough. The F1 cars are
they are massive, and obviously particularly the newer ones.
Yeah,
so seeing it next to a Formula E car and seeing how much smaller the Formula E cars were really made it quite clear why you do have closer racing and more overtaking in Formula E.
What are we thinking? Like, are they closer to like F3 or F4? Like, maybe slightly bigger than F4, maybe F3.
Yeah, in terms of cars. Size, I reckon more closer to like F3, F2 kind of level. Obviously, the cars themselves look very different, and
yes, definitely,
they're probably more powerful than
way faster in so many cars, ways. Gosh, yeah,
yeah.
No, I think it's just really, really great to see more sports like that coming out. Definitely. I'm loving watching it. Honestly, it's so good, and it's being fully televised now. Finally,
yes,
that's great. That's really good to see. And the commentary is really good, and I think it's just an improving sport. So yeah,
it is.
I think it's just brilliant.
I'm excited to see where it goes.
Definitely.
And being a part of that as well.
Me too. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So will you be attending more races for the year? Because I know that obviously there aren't many races within a Formula E season at the moment.
Yes. So my next one now, so I'm only doing a total of 3 races with them this year, and then obviously making content off track as well.
Yes.
So I did Saudi with them, Monaco a couple of weeks ago, and then my next one now will be London.
Great.
So yeah, nice. That's home race.
Great race.
Easy to get.
Hope to see you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that'd be a great race. Yes. In London too, just down the road from you.
I'm
which would be
excited.
Brilliant. Yeah, so obviously speaking of Formula E, what is coming up for you within Formula One as well? Are you attending any more races this year?
I am, yes. So my next Formula One race is actually Monaco again.
Oh, wonderful.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah.
And then after that, what have we got? Probably Silverstone.
Yeah.
I've got nothing necessarily lined up yet, but I just
hopefully
feel, yeah, I'm so are close that I'll find a way.
Yeah.
And then Abu Dhabi I will be going to
at
the end of the season.
So you've got a super busy year coming up. That's gonna be great.
It's really, this is my first season actually attending, like, between Formula E and Formula One, attending quite a lot of races, and it's very exciting,
which is
great. It's a good feeling.
A lot of traveling. How are you dealing with it?
Oh my god, it's tiring. It really is tiring, and I sounds so dramatic because I'm not even doing that many races, but like, it really makes it very clear how difficult it must be for the people who are working every single race, whether you're a driver or part of the commentary team, who's there at every single one. My god, it's exhausting. I came back from Miami, and that was off the back of 2 consecutive race weekends, because I had Monaco Formula E and then Miami Formula One. I was exhausted after 2 consecutive weekends. I was dead. And I was like, gosh, I don't know how people do. I mean, I'm gonna have to learn how to do it if I do want to deal with it full time, but it is difficult.
I've seen all the hacks that all of the drivers, they like wear sunglasses at different times of the day to like help them get into like time zones and recover quicker and those sort of things.
Yeah,
there's definitely a science in there.
Yeah,
you just start like that taking exams.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but there's so much air time that comes with the Formula One, the Formula E, like constantly boarding and going through checking of onto a plane, of course, which is tiring, but at the end of the day, super exciting.
Yes,
and
super exciting. I still wouldn't
busy.
Change it for anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
As exhausting as it is, I'm kind of like, well, the alternative is, you know, sitting in an office.
I'll take the
exhaustion,
definitely,
if it means going to races.
How much fun is being on a plane though? Like, I love it.
No, I do kind of enjoy travel in a funny way. Like, there's something about it that's quite exciting, even though it is tiring, and the longer flights, especially like the flight to Miami was 10 hours.
Yes, yeah,
which is long.
Yeah,
not quite. I think Australia would probably be the longest one to do on the calendar.
Definitely.
So that gets a lot, but then you just sleep for most of it.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, and you can just watch like shows and stuff, and
but I get excited about like just pre-downloading all of my Netflix shows in advance.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'm like, I can just binge the whole series.
It's completely diverting off
on
F1
in one flight.
But I mean, like when I'm going on holiday on Thursday, right, just for a break away, and have you watched Bridgerton, the series?
Yes.
Yeah, so
course.
The series comes out the next season.
Yes,
so excited.
I'm so excited.
The day that I fly out. But it comes out half an hour once my flight has left.
Yeah, it's so annoying, because I've also been constantly checking the release date, because I was hoping that I'd be able to use it on my flight back from Miami, but
no, exactly. Yeah, so it'd be so sad. I'll be just up in the air, and next thing you know, I would have been able to watch it. I'm so sad. I'm hoping that the flight is delayed by half an hour, honestly, just so I can quickly download it.
I don't blame you at all.
Because I think that's going to be like 5 episodes and I don't have time to download all those.
No, I think...
paper Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have to save it for Monaco.
Yeah, exactly. It's good binge, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think there's only part 1 and part 2. Anyway, this is completely off, like completely different, but... moving back in. Have you watched Drive to Survive?
A little bit of it.
Yep.
Here and there.
Yep.
Not a lot.
No.
I hadn't watched any of the seasons until I think the most recent one.
I'm exactly the same. Yep.
Mm-hmm. The one they put out, start of this year, wasn't it?
Yes, it was only February, yeah.
And I didn't watch it all either. I watched a couple of episodes and I think
it's... What, of the most recent series or
yes,
the first one?
Yeah. The most recent. And I think... the conclusion I came to was that it serves a purpose of attracting new fans, which is what it aimed to do and what
Absolutely.
It very successfully did.
Yeah.
But as someone who's there watching every single race and also engaging with all of the content away from the racing as well, in terms of, you know, the drama and the politics of F1 behind the scenes and who's really engaging with that throughout the season, Drive to Survive isn't adding anything. I'm like, I'm just watching a repeat. Of the racing season.
That is exactly it. In so many ways, though, you do get to see a little bit. I know that the season of 2020 was really interesting to see everything that happened within COVID, and I did watch that with quite a lot of interest.
Right, yeah.
But generally, looking at the races, I know, obviously, being a fan that's already watched the races, you're kind of just watching, as you say, a replay, but it is very dramatized. It's focusing on one or two drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And in so many ways, they missed out. Like the big news
of
those races, which was, I found really confusing actually. The only one they didn't miss was Abu Dhabi in the 2021. That was a full race recap. That was
understandably wanting.
I mean, it's interesting really. It has brought so many new followers. I've got a hair on my okay. I mean, the newest season is just a lot of talk race, talk to race, like it's...
As I said, I to be quite frank, I got bored after 2 episodes because I was just like, I've seen this all before, so then I stopped.
Exactly.
However, that doesn't I don't mean to say that it doesn't
serve
a purpose,
because
it's... clearly it's been very, very successful at bringing in a new audience, a younger audience,
absolutely.
A more predominantly female audience, which is really great as a
helps
woman
so much
in the sport.
Yep.
Yeah, so yeah, no complaints. It appeals to a certain group of people, and it does very well for that.
Yeah,
if you're already a very invested fan, it's probably not adding much value for you.
No. Yeah, exactly. And I know that we're looking forward to the F1 Academy version, and I'm really, really looking forward to that.
Yes, that I will really look forward to, because that now has the opportunity to serve the purpose that it did for F1.
Exactly.
Where it's a new series, no one knows that much about it.
No, it's
even
so new.
Even the big motorsport fans, no one knows much about the drivers. And as I said before, I think the biggest barrier to enjoying this, particularly a motorsport, is not understanding what's going on kind of behind the scenes.
Exactly.
The politics, the drivers, you have to get a bit invested in their personalities
Because that's how you support someone. That's how you become a fan, because you could just watch all the cars go around and think that one looks pretty, but the cars look the same. I mean, there's two of every car, so if you think that one looks pretty, like, they all look the same. So you might just like the livery. So you don't really know unless you know the team or the driver and get to know them. So I think that's going to be huge for the F1 Academy. And also, no one really knows, like, who the teams are. Everyone sees the drivers, but who is heading that team? Who is the team boss? Or who are the mechanics, the engineers? Who is helping that person and that car get to the most successful point?
Yeah, which is important, because within F1, those people are huge personalities as well.
Huge,
people also have favorite teams or teams that they support because of, you know, just the team boss, or they really enjoy driver engineer relationships. I'm really excited to just get to know the drivers and the teams a bit better through the Netflix series.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be so good. Really, really good. So a few like questions I had, like a bit more of like a fun thing. So we kind of were aware that you definitely love Ferrari, and that's amazing.
Yes.
Do you like favor or have any favorite driver within F1?
Because of my support for Ferrari, for me it's just kind of whoever's doing best for Ferrari at that point in time. Charles Leclerc's therefore been my favorite for a few years, although performance-wise Carlos has actually been doing slightly better recently
this year. Definitely.
So yeah, that's kind of the way with that. However, there are also other drivers that I do have soft spots for.
Yeah,
Lewis is one of them, just because of the British connection. Oh yeah, much. Of course. And also just like, he's obviously such an icon and such a legend within the sport.
Yes, yeah, totally.
I do also like Max as well.
Yeah,
you can. So it's an interesting, you can concept, like both Max,
definitely,
and
definitely you can. It's definitely like possible. A stereotype is like, hate Max, love Lewis, hate Lewis, love Max.
Well, yeah, because I think a lot of people think if you love Lewis, therefore the 2021 result must have made you hate Max. However, it wasn't Max's fault.
No, exactly. Yeah, you got to be on the fence in most part. Yeah.
Yes.
It was haunting being an English, like a British fan that weekend, but looking back, it was such a great race.
Yeah.
If it was anyone else, it would have been like, oh, best race ever. But yes. No, there was so much like...
I think it was quite haunting as a motorsport fan in general. I think a lot of people, even maybe not. I think Max fans were probably pretty happy.
Very,
overall.
Very happy, yeah.
However, I think even most of those fans could agree retrospectively that, you know, based on the rules, the wrong decision was made.
Definitely, 100%.
Whether you were happy about the result or not.
Yeah, I'd be confused if you didn't think that. Yeah, because, yeah, that is exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but I do love Max. Great, I think he also is quite like a misunderstood character.
Definitely.
I think he's a really nice guy for the most part.
And I love seeing him in the paddock with like Kelly and Penelope too. I just love that.
I think it says a lot what a good relationship he has with all the other drivers that people love, right?
Like, definitely.
Such a good friendship with people like Lando, people like Charles.
And they only really have good words to say about him, which is amazing.
So... I like him as well.
Definitely. Amazing. That's so good. When did you like properly get into F1, to watching every race?
I would say in like slightly more recent years. Obviously when you're a kid you can enjoy it with your family, but you don't really know all that much about what's going on.
So watching the race,
you can't be super invested.
No.
So I'd say I probably got, to be honest, 2021, like the start of 2021. Was the
great
first,
season to start off with.
Yeah,
with
the first season where I actually watched every single race, qualifying, practice session, where I was super invested.
Such a good season.
Yeah, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Before that, I watched quite a lot of it as well.
Yeah, amazing.
But yeah, that was like the first.
I think, to be honest, because I've always watched F1 my whole entire life, and I've said this time again, but the races of both 2020 but 2021 just made me love the sport all over again.
Yes.
Like it just... Oh, that was such a... I'm looking forward to another year like that. I cannot wait. Within Formula E, do you have like a favorite team? Or do you support?
Probably, I'd say like on track, maybe not necessarily. I think it's more a product of the teams that I've worked with and therefore gotten to know the drivers a bit better.
Yeah.
And at the moment, I've only really closely worked with Andretti and Jaguar.
Yes, yeah.
So, and I now have like good relationships with them and their teams, and they're all just like really nice people as
well.
Which
is lovely,
so I do enjoy working with them. So I'd say Andretti, Jaguar probably consist of my favorite drivers and teams.
No, that's really cool. Actually, you know what, with Andretti doing pretty well in Formula E, what do you think of Andretti being declined for their team F1?
That's a good question. I mean, there is always going to be something appealing about a new team joining the grid, because it brings more competition ultimately, and 100%. People like seeing more cars competing on track.
More opportunities for drivers.
Yeah, and I think people had a lot of belief in Andretti, because obviously they're a hugely popular American car manufacturer, first of all.
Yeah.
They've been hugely successful in Formula E.
Very much so.
They also do pretty well in Indy.
Yep.
So if it was anyone else, I feel like people wouldn't have been too bothered, because they would have thought, well, any new team coming in, like, they're just not really going to be able to compete. But I think people thought Andretti were going to come in and be able to do something.
Yeah.
Which would have been exciting. From my perspective, I feel like I have to trust that if they, you know, in the report, they kind of said that they didn't feel as though Andretti were prepared from an engine supplier perspective and other things. I feel like you kind of have to trust that that is the case.
Yes,
and that maybe there's an opportunity there going forwards.
Yes, hopefully.
But yeah, it's always, it would be exciting to see another team on the grid.
Yeah, I mean, I would really love them to see them on the grid, and if this year wasn't their year, or sorry, 2025 isn't their year, then fair enough, and that's the FIA's decision. But I really would love to see another team, whether it's Andretti or not, although I do support them a lot.
Yeah,
I would love to see another team like that, that, as you say, they are well established in other motorsport competitions and championships.
Yes.
Anyway, and I think that's really important, instead of, I don't know, someone random like Porsche deciding that they suddenly wanted their team. But yeah, I think saying that, Porsche do so many motorsport related that's yeah, probably a bad
they
example.
They do pretty well in
they
Formula
do very,
E as well.
Very well within many championships. But yeah, I mean, Andretti would be so good, but
yes,
we'll just have to see and wait.
I'm sure. I think the problem is there are, I say like we should just trust that if they say they're ill-prepared, then they're ill-prepared and that's that.
Yes,
however, yeah. There is also obviously a lot of things that would prevent people from in F1 from wanting another team in F1.
Definitely.
First of all, none of the teams are going to want it to happen. None of the teams that are already in F1 want more competition, more splitting of prize funds.
Yes, yeah.
So none of them are going to be advocating for it at all.
No.
Which I think is quite a hard barrier to start with, because there are a lot of influential people within the teams who have influence upon the organization as a whole and 100%. On the FIA that will say no, we don't want
they have
to
big voices.
Yeah
because as you say, though, for us viewers, that's all we really want is more competition and more opportunity for drivers to do well, more drivers coming into the sport. I'd love to see more points being given out to people lower down in the standings, but for the teams, they are literally looking at the complete opposite. That they don't want any more points going to different drivers in the standings. They don't want more competition or competitors. So yeah, it's a two-sided thing. We'll just have to see into the future. I kind of 20 drivers, 10 teams, such a rounded number, which I kind of love, but
yes.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be sad to make it 11. I think it would be sad to make 11. Let's make it 12. Let's bring two more in.
All the teams.
No, but I think we'll see. We have some exciting years coming up within Formula One.
We do.
And Formula E, obviously.
Yes.
So many different things. Do you watch any other like championships within motorsport?
I really don't, to be honest. I try and keep somewhat on top with Formula 2, more so for the purpose of knowing who the drivers are who are coming
moving
through.
Into. Yes, yeah.
However, no, other than that, no. But I have been told many, many times that I should get into IndyCar.
IndyCar's so good, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that it has a very good reputation.
But it is really different to F1. People are like, oh, it's the same. It's so different.
Yeah.
It really is. And they just have different, it's different kind of racing, different cars completely. Mm-hmm. And it looks really similar, but it really isn't, which is fun.
I like that. Yeah, I can imagine it is fun. Maybe I need to make this the year to try and get into it more.
Yeah, but I think there's so many, it's you run out of time, don't you? Because everyone's like, oh, you need to watch MotoGP or you need to watch like Superbikes.
Like, it's like I already commit so much of my time to Formula One
money
and Formula E.
It's unbelievable. I know. Yeah, it's bad enough just watching F1 and Formula E.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, my mum is always like, she loves, like, my whole family love F1.
That's nice.
F1 Academy, F2, Formula E. I love it. But you get to some point, like, if it's a whole weekend, like, you're still watching. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have to watch.
And the amount of sleep you have to lose over it as
I know.
When they're racing in different time zones.
Because it's become an international, much far more international sport, they've obviously moved their times a bit, so they don't necessarily just favour the UK. Mm-hmm. And that's super
biased. That's great.
But like, come on, now we have to get up at like 3 a.m. to watch some of the qualifying.
Yes, and there are people all over the world who have to do that. So like,
every
people,
time, yeah, so,
people
I mean,
in the US and Australia have to
a couple races, so
lose a lot more sleep than we do in Europe. But it is, those early starts are painful.
I know, they definitely are, I think. Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons I would like to ask you. That's one of the reasons I personally really enjoy the sprint race weekends. What do you think of them?
I enjoy the sprint weekends. I know, again, a lot of people don't have very good things to say about them. Right. The main complaint I've heard is that it spoils Sunday's race because you already get
kind
a gauge
know.
Of...
Yes.
of how well the teams are doing.
Yeah.
However, I feel like you get a lot of that from practice and other parts of the weekend anyway. It's also quite unusual that a team is going to drastically change their performance one weekend to the next.
Yep.
So to say that the sprint weekend spoils it entirely is, I don't think, based in much reality.
Truth. Yeah, no, I completely agree.
And at the end of the day, I just enjoy having another race to watch, to be quite honest.
Exactly, because it swaps out. I know the only unfortunate thing that I think is that they only get one free practice session, though that's fine for us because it means we don't have to endure another one because, I mean, let's be honest, they are boring. But for the teams, I think it's a little, I mean, they're all in together, but it's slightly unfair because, of course, they have to know and set up the car mm-hmm. ready for the race weekend after 1 hour of being on track, which I think is insane. But
yes.
I love it. I'd much rather see them racing rather than just practicing random things that you don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like you say, it's difficult from a team perspective. Again, in terms of qualifying as well, I always think, like, God, it must be hard to go from a race to then having to do qualifying for the even more
exactly.
important race.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of pressure and it's a lot to get done in a day.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think it has a lot of improvements as well. I think that the FIA should look at it and make it more competitive in ways. They should change things about it so it's not like the Grand Prix.
Yes.
So it's this kind of own separate race that the drivers still want to compete for, because the problem is, if you're not top eight, why are you really there? You're just gonna you don't want to crash your car.
Yeah, because you're more concerned.
So they should give some reason, something random in there that means that the drivers want to achieve something.
Yes.
There are so many options, but they need to think wisely about that, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think it's great, really. But as you say, yeah, you've got obviously one qualifying and a race, and then quickly, literally a few hours normally.
Yeah.
I think Miami was like 3.5 or just 4.
Yeah, it was quite a quick
to then
turn
straight
around.
Back to qualifying. So exciting overall, I think.
But yeah, enjoyable. I think the idea of a sprint race in general I really like. But you say, there definitely could be some revisions to the format to make it a bit more incentivized from a team perspective.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, I'm glad we agree on that one. No, but thank you so much for having some time and spending some time on my podcast.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
I've really enjoyed having you on here. For all the viewers, could you please just shout out your own, just brag about yourself a second, shout out your own tag handles for social media quick.
Yep, so I am at the Olivia Hartley on Instagram and TikTok. Both those platforms are where I primarily put out content. That's me.
Amazing. Perfect. Well, yeah, thank you again. And I hope to have you on here again soon.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.